Welcome to the Open Door Podcast. My name is Okuyame Mensa. I also respond to Akwa and Ikya. I'm a certified executive and leadership coach, recognized facilitator, and former startup leader that loves supporting reluctant, firefighting, and overwhelmed leaders. I work with them to help them clarify where they should focus their time and energy each and every day so that they can love themselves, love their work, and ultimately love their life. If you're looking to learn leadership information and hear different perspectives, you are in the right place. My aim in this podcast is to help you see that one of the most productive and profitable things you can do is deeply understand yourself, understand how you show up, understand how you thrive, and then allow yourself to align everything in your work, in your life, and in your business to support that. Think of this podcast as your weekly opportunity to receive leadership support. And remember, there is no one right way to lead yourself or others. Thank you so much for taking the time to join me today. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to the Open Door Conversations podcast. This week, I am super excited to share a conversation with someone that has become invaluable to my business. And that is the woman who supports me and is my VA. And I'm really excited about this conversation because we touch on so many different topics, including her previous life, how she started her business, and most importantly, the importance of constantly checking in to see whether or not you're enjoying what you're doing with your time. So within this conversation, we talk a lot about the importance of purpose and how purpose can really help you wake up in the morning, feel good about yourself, and most importantly, make a difference, not just in your life, but in the lives of others. So if you're interested in hearing the story of an amazing woman who has pivoted her life within the last year, keep listening. Hello and welcome to this week's podcast episode. I am so excited because today I am joined by the amazing, and when I say amazing, she is absolutely amazing. She actually has changed my business and my life, but I am joined by the amazing Dorcas Nakaye. And today we're going to be talking all about becoming and being an amazing virtual assistant. And for some of you that maybe have heard of being a virtual assistant, being an amazing or becoming an amazing VA. Dorcas, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on here. It's a privilege and an honor to speak to you, Akwa. It's amazing. Thank you.
Yes. So for folks who are meeting you for the first time, could you please share a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so my name is Dorcas, as you mentioned before. I am a virtual assistant. I have been full-time virtual assistant for about coming to 8 months now. But before that, I was working in the accounting field, which is, we will get to that. But that's what I do. I help coaches and consultants to just kind of free them up to be able to walk in their purpose and their calling and to be able to provide value whilst I make it a little bit easier for them to do that.
Amazing. 8 months. Yes. So let's just jump into it. Like, first and foremost, congratulations, right? 8 months in. Tell us a little bit more about what you did previously and sort of why you decided to transition into this new space.
Okay, so I don't know about you, Akwa, I don't know if you'll be able to relate to this, but growing up in an African household, it was either science or math. Those are the only options you get. And I was really not great at science. So it was math. I wasn't the best at math, but I got it. I understood it. I knew what I was doing with it. And so to me, that meant, right, move on and do accounting. So I went to college, my A-levels, I did accounting, economics, all of that. Went into uni and did accounting and finance. Went into the finance sector. And as I was doing my professional exams, which is the ACCA, as part of that, you've got to do a 3-year work experience placement where you get the additional kind of, you know, qualifications that you need to be able to fully qualify as an ACCA accredited accountant. So I got this amazing opportunity to work for this private firm. The pay was great. It was like everything was perfect. I had everything I could possibly ask for or want or need. And I was like, great, struck gold. Let's go for this. And it's important to say that I didn't struggle with the academic side of it at all. So that's why in my head, I was like, yeah, this makes sense. So I went on and I started work at this firm. And the first day there, I was like, okay, I got home and I was quite sad. But I was like, you know what? Maybe it's just day one. It's mm-hmm. fine. Let's just keep going. And I went back and things did not get better. And I really struggled to kind of come to terms with that, because up to this point, I had pretty much planned out my whole life. I'm a planner. So I plan absolutely every part of my life, what I'm going to do when I get to this age and all of this. And when I got to that point for the first time, I felt like I didn't know what I was doing. I felt like I wasn't grasping what was going on. I felt like I couldn't see that this could be my life for the rest of my life. And so a couple of months in, I was like, okay, maybe it's the environment, maybe it's the place, maybe, mm-hmm. But I looked at that and that didn't make sense. But I was like, anyway, it's fine. So I was like, right, let's just work towards more the finance administration kind of side of things. Maybe that's a little bit better, the whole finance as opposed to accounting. So, you know, I went and I worked, I mean, there was a couple of steps I've missed there, but I went and I worked in a finance job at an oil company. It was great. It was fine. Enjoyed it, actually. It was great. I had great colleagues and whatever. All of that was great. But then another opportunity came where it was even more pay than my first role. It was closer to home. Everything, it was perfect. And I was like, you know what? Let's try this one more time. One more time. Let's try and go back into this accounting industry. So I started at this role and nothing had changed. It was exactly the same. I felt it was overwhelming how unfulfilled I was. I was in tears on the way home. Wow. I felt super anxious getting up in the morning to go to work. Everything was just wrong. And I did not feel like I was in purpose. And I was like, how could I have got this so wrong? And in my head, bear in mind that I've planned all the time. I'm thinking, I can't go back to school and do a whole other degree. All the years I've wasted on, well, not wasted, but, you know, spent mm-hmm. on the professional side of things, doing the professional exams. And it was a lot. And it got to a point where one day I was driving home because it was quite close to home as well. So, you know, I would drive home for lunch. In my head, it was almost like, I just want to go back home just for a little bit, just for an hour, then go back in for the evening, for the afternoon shift. And, you know, I went, I was driving on the motorway back home. And for a second, a little bit longer than a second, but I considered slamming my car.
Wow.
Into the one next to me, just so I did not have to go back into work. Just so I could have a couple of days where I did not have to go into work. And the minute that thought entered my head, I was like, okay, that's it. This cannot be the life that I was created to live. Like, this can't be all there is to this. You know, money is great, but that moment I realized it's not enough. It's not enough. So I was just like, okay. So I got home for lunch and I spoke to my mom about it actually. And I was like, I'm actually going to leave. She was super supportive, thank goodness. But I went back into the office that day. I stayed in a little bit later, made sure that everything was done. And I wrote a resignation letter and left it at my manager's desk. And that was the last, that was the last thing I did. And I left and I came home. And, you know, maybe there was a bit of a coward in that I didn't, you know, sit them down and talk to them. But I honestly could not have that conversation. I've just started in this role. I had been there maybe 2 weeks at this point. Mm-hmm. But I didn't have the capacity to have that conversation with them. And so I got home and that was it. I was dreading the next morning because I knew if I don't show up, I'm going to get the phone calls, which of course they came. And long story short, they asked me to, you know, meet up and have a conversation with them. And, you know, they made it super comfortable. They were like, we won't be in the office. We'll go to a coffee shop and really just have a conversation. And they asked me all these questions. Did something happen? Has somebody done anything? You know, all of this. So that they couldn't grasp it. They couldn't understand it. They offered me even more money. Like at this point, it was actually ridiculous. It was like, okay, I don't have enough qualification for you to be giving me this much money. But yeah, they offered all of this money and everything, all the perks that, you know, I could ever want. And they said, you know, will you reconsider? And I was like, right, okay, let me sit on it. Give me 24 hours. I get back to you. But the minute I got walking from the coffee shop to the car, I knew that I wasn't going to change my mind. And so pretty much got home. The next day I emailed them and said, I'm so sorry. I'm really grateful for everything you've done for me. And this opportunity is great, you know, and so on and so forth. But I won't be coming back until this day. Honestly, Aqua, till this day, they message me. They send me an email with all jobs that they've still got openings for. If you ever consider, I don't know what I did.
You're really good at what you do, even if you don't like it.
Honestly, like I couldn't fathom it. And so anyway, from that point, I was like, right, this accounting thing is not going to work. I'm going to have to come up with something else. And so, you know, I started working. That's when I met my first client, actually, who's a marriage coach. And she was kind of like, oh, why don't you just come and like work with me for a little bit, you know? And I was like, oh, doing what though? Like, I didn't know what to do. I was like, doing what though? And she was like, I don't know, maybe you could just help me with some administration, maybe some marketing. I didn't know what marketing was at that point. But I went in and started. And at that point, it was a couple of hours a week. And then it eventually became full time. And let me just say this, the money was like half what I was on before, half. But the contentment, the happiness, the joy, getting up in the morning and feeling like I am in purpose was more like I couldn't put a value to that. It was so, so good. And so I was like, huh, I wonder if this is a thing, because I didn't even know that virtual assistant field industry existed. I was like, I wonder if this is a thing. Anyway, so I did it alongside kind of a PR job and a few things that I did in the middle to kind of supplement income. And I was like, I wonder if this is a thing, because then I was also doing it for some of my friends, just almost like on the side. And I wasn't really charging much for it. And so one day I was like, hey, if this is, you know, what I'm charging, would you pay it? And they're like, oh yeah, absolutely, would pay it. I was like, wait, you'd pay it? And so I went around to every single person that I'd worked with over the few years that I had done that. And all of them were willing to pay. And I was like, why don't I do this full time? And so literally last October, I left another job that was, again, incredible. It was a great, great, great job. And I was like, you know what? Take the leap, go in and just and see what happens. And here we are, 8 months on. It's great. I have clients, I have a steady income, I've been able to actually replace my income and be able to do this absolutely full time and do what I love and get up every morning and think, wow, like, I'm not anxious. I'm not anxious. I'm actually excited to sit and work and support my clients. And for me, being able to help them walk in what they want to do, you know, like, I find coaches extremely inspiring, extremely inspiring. And for me to be able to facilitate, just make a little space for them to be able to do what they want to do, do what they love to do. For one of my clients, she was like, you don't understand how much time I now have to spend with my family. And I'm just like, that brings me so much joy. And I want to do that for the rest of my life. I don't know how it will work out, but just to be able to work and help them be their best selves is the best thing I could ever ask for. And so I'm incredibly, incredibly honored to be able to do what I do full time. So yeah, that was a long about way of answering your question.
I know we don't, this is not video, but like my face has just been like, oh my gosh, wow. I mean, what a story. And I'm just, yeah. You know, I'm also just really grateful that our paths crossed. But before we get there, just a few questions. How did you meet that marriage coach?
Okay. So she is actually, I sing. I don't know if you know this, but
I'm learning so many new things out of this conversation. I love it.
Oh, I sing. So I do a couple of gigs here and there. And so I actually met her at one of my gigs that I was doing, and we ended up, because it's like an agency and you kind of show up, you don't know who's going to be there. You're just basically, you get given, hey, there's a wedding, you know, it'll be 2 hours. This is the set list, meet here for rehearsal. So you turn up and there's a couple of people there. And she happened to be one of those people there. And we really connected. And she actually later on became my mentor, not a marriage mentor, but like a just kind of in the faith, Christianity, how do you do life and all of that kind of stuff. She became a mentor. And so then obviously then it kind of came naturally for me to then go in and work with her as a marriage coach. So till this day, she's still my first ever client and she's still going strong. And yeah, it's great. That's how I met her.
Amazing. I love that. I mean, one of the things I think that really resonated with me based on what you shared is just recognizing that you need to check in with yourself, see how things are going, and then just leverage, right, the people around you, asking questions. Yeah. That's really how you build things and build things that are bigger than yourself. Just thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm sure a lot of people listening to this will be able to resonate with certain parts of your story and the fact that you decided to do something about it, right? You didn't decide just to continue to do it. You decided like, hey, I think I'll be able to find something. It might be a bit different. It might not make me as much when I first start off, but I can build something out of this.
Yeah. Yeah. And definitely having a good support system has made that a lot easier. Because I know for some people, it doesn't make sense. Like for some, especially African parents, they're like, what are you doing? You're leaving accounting to do what? Administration? Do you know what I mean? And it's like, but, you know, I'm so incredibly blessed with like, my mom is my biggest cheerleader. She's just like, hey, whatever makes you happy. She's that kind of person. Like you only have one life, live it well. You know, do what brings you joy. The money will come.
Oh, I love that. Maybe this is actually a really good segue for us to actually talk about how we connected. Can you share with everyone how we got in touch and how we ended up working together?
So I found you on LinkedIn. Right. So this is actually a point I was going to mention later, and maybe we'll get to it. But I think cold emailing, I guess is what it's called, has a bad rep. For no reason, because it has worked for me. Every single client I've got, it has been through referrals or cold emailing. And I found you on LinkedIn. I don't even know how I came across your page. Honestly, I could not tell you how I came across your page. But I was like, who is this? And then you had a podcast. I am a huge podcast, what do you call them? Consumer. I was just like, I listened to all the episodes and I was like, who is this? Honestly. And I told you when we first had that first meeting where I feel like your voice makes me want to sit up and just like, get right. And get.
I did not pay her to say this. I promise you, I did not.
Honestly, like it makes me like, I'm just like, okay, Dorcas, what have you done today? What have you done today? Have you checked off everything off your to-do list? Honestly, I oh my goodness. Like, honestly, I was like, I sent your picture to my sister and I was like, if I ever get to work with this lady, like my business is made. My business is made. And again, it just goes back to what I was saying before about working with people that are inspiring. Because if I'm not inspired by the people that I'm working with, I am not inspired to do my job well. But because I'm inspired by every single one of my clients, it's easy for me to come up with stuff. It's easy for me to come up with content. It's easy for me to do what might seem really minuscule, like maybe getting a title right, or like the wording or whatever, something that might seem really, you know, maybe like not important, but actually, because I believe in the vision that this person carries, everything matters. And so me finding you and like finding you extremely inspiring, I was like, oh my goodness, I have to reach out to this lady. So I sent you an email. Did I follow you on LinkedIn first before the email?
Don't remember.
I don't know.
You might have. I'm not sure. Yeah.
No, but you know how like on LinkedIn, you can't follow certain people because your profile isn't like,
connected enough.
Not connected enough. So I think I sent you an email and I think it was really long actually. I'm so sorry.
It was a really good email though, because I mean,
come on. Yeah, but literally I was just like, because you had an event on and you had things going on. And I was like, hey, I'm here. Like if you need a virtual assistant, I'm here. And I got a response, and here we are. And so, like, I really, cold emailing, if you do it right, and that means, you know, you are, again, inspired by the person you're emailing, you've read upon their background, you know what they're doing, you know what they've got coming up, and you're genuine about wanting to help them, then that email won't be cold, actually. It'll be warm, you know, it'll be something that, you know, this person will feel like, ah, okay, this person knows about me. She's not just found me randomly and just emailed me. She's connected with me. She's connected with my vision, with what I want to do. And then she's emailed me. And so they will feel really valued and seen. And that will be what, you know, what draws them to you. But again, everything, you have to be authentic in what you do. And so I think that's what carried through, and that's what was able to get me to this place working with you. And you believed in me even from the other side of the world. You were like, you know what? Let's talk. Let's just, I don't even think you were looking for a virtual assistant.
I was not. Point. I yeah. wasn't Mm-mm. at all.
Yeah. And somehow we were able to, you know, I won't put words in your mouth, but you were able to see that I was authentic and that I genuinely was inspired by
100%.
Everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think every phone call, I'm always like, oh my goodness, like, this is great. This is great. This is great. So yeah, that's how we met.
And I mean, just to share my perspective of sort of how we connected, I was just so impressed by this email. And I think I even said, like, I'm terrible at like doing outbound marketing. Like, can you do mine? I think that's initially when I reached out. I was like, let's do that. It's definitely pivoted and shifted a bit, or sort of the scope has changed a bit. But, you know, Dorcas, I mean, she shows up. I would just say that, like, you know, in terms of everything that we've had conversations about and how we initially started, I think even initially I was like, I don't think I have the money now, but let's start in January. And like, it will come together. Like, we'll figure this out.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I remember that. I forgot about that. But yeah, we did. Yeah.
And I mean, truly, thanks to your support, that's really what has opened up my time to be able to focus on making that money, right? Being able to find the opportunities where people are excited to invest in me at the level that I'm asking for. So yeah, it's been great. It's been great. And I'd love for you to share a little bit more about some of the things that you've learned, right? So you talked a bit about doing cold outreach. We knew each other from absolutely nowhere. And you've been able to build connections with me and lots of other people online. What other things have you learned since launching your business? And what should people keep in mind if they're interested in doing this line of work?
Yeah, definitely don't despise cold emailing. Just get it right, as we've mentioned. But I think the second thing that I've learned or honed in on is that passion alone doesn't get you very far either. You have to have passion and skill. I don't think that skill alone can get you very far either. Maybe it can, depending on your personality type, but you definitely need both to be able to find that sweet spot. And passion, I'm passionate about a lot of things, right? We're passionate about a lot of things, but not every single thing that we're passionate about is going to bring us money. Right? Not every single thing that we're passionate about, we're the best at, you know? And so you need to add the skill. You need to continuously invest in professional development and the skills that you need to be able to do your passion really, really well and become a standout, you know, whatever in your field you've decided to do. In my field as a virtual assistant, you know, yes, I'm really passionate, you know, and again, side note, finding your niche, finding the kind of people that you want to work with, I think is huge, because there's a lot of virtual assistants that are just working with anybody, like whoever comes, you know. And I think you're at a risk of burning out. I think you're at a risk of just always chasing your tail if you're just working for everybody. You have to find who is the person that sets you on fire? What do they do? Who's... Don't laugh. I mean that.
I'm sorry.
Seriously.
I understand what you mean, though. I got you. I got you.
Who's the person? For me, it's coaches and consultants, because I find them incredibly inspiring. I'm just like, oh my gosh, all this knowledge, incredible. I want to know more. Like, I want to glean more from them. And so find the people that, or maybe even the skill, right? So there's some tech VAs, right? And they're just like, I'm crazy about tech. Right? That is what I really want to work with. That's what I just want my whole VA business to be a tech VA business. You know, so find that thing that you are passionate about, add skill to it, sweet spot. Absolutely. Like, so, you know, I don't think passion alone will get you very far. And I don't think skill alone will get you very far. I can do accounting. I did it for years, you know, but I hated every moment of it. So that didn't get me very far. So you've got to find somewhere, you've got to find something that brings both together for you to be able to, first of all, offer, feel like you're walking in purpose. I keep saying the word purpose, but because I really feel like I'm there right now, in that you walking in purpose, you're providing support to people that you believe in. And at the same time, you're good at what you do. That's your sweet spot. And I think those are two things that I've definitely learned from my business. And I think the mistakes, because I know you mentioned mistakes that we make, certainly I made at the start, is not charging your worth. I think that's huge. And I think that does take a lot of unlearning. Actually, before this call, we were talking about imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've definitely found that it's more internal for me, where I feel like, well, can I really charge this? Because I've only been doing this business full time for 8 months. So I'm like, can I really charge this? You know, but then you find that actually, like, I spoke to a virtual assistant last week. She charges £40 for the same thing I do, £40 an hour for the same thing I do.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, whoa, like that is my, I'm like, who's going to pay £40 for me to, do you know what I mean? But it's that she knows what she carries. She's like, no, there's nobody else that does it as good as I do it. So if you want my services, if you want my help, you will pay that. And so I think there's definitely a lot of unlearning that has to happen for you to be able to understand your worth, you know, and be able to do it well as well, because you have to offer the value. You have to be worth the 40 quid and more, you know? And so definitely undercharging is definitely something I'm still working on. And secondly, I think another big thing is playing the long game in this business. Again, just last week, one of my friends called me. She's like, oh, I want to do a bit of VA, you know, on the side. And I'm like, okay, sure. Like, what do you want to do? And she was just like, oh, just, you know, just some admin stuff, you know, like you do, just some quick admin stuff.
Like, I don't do just quick admin stuff.
I was like,
you do not. It's not quick.
I don't know that this is the right, do you know what I mean? But this is the thing that we have to deal with as virtual assistants, is where it's this perception from the outside world that we just do quick admin stuff. It is not quick by any means, and it is not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. And so I think if you're in this business, you've got to put your CEO hat on and think, okay, this is a business. This is not just a thing I'm doing on the side. It's not a quick thing. I mean, sure, if that's what you want to do, go for it. But if you're thinking about this as a business and you're trying to grow something that is going to be longstanding and maybe outgrow you into something that's bigger, then you've got to remember that this is a business. This is a business, and you've got to think about your numbers. You've got to think about profit. You've got to think about, do my rates make sense for where I'm trying to go? Your business goals, your life goals, you know, I want to buy a house. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do this. Does this right now make sense for where I'm trying to go? Because at the end of the day, yes, it's a passion, but I'm also trying to create wealth for me, my future kids, the generations to follow. So how do I do that in this space? And so I think those are all things, if I had thought about that before I started, I reckon I would have been in a much better place right now. So definitely for anybody who's thinking about coming into this kind of field, definitely look at your pricing. Do not undercharge, because it's really hard to change your pricing once it's set. It's really hard for you to go back to your clients and say, hey, I know I charged you £15 last month. This month, I'm thinking of £35 instead. It's really hard to do that. And secondly, start as you mean to go on. You know, start, if this is a long thing for you, if you're thinking this is going to be a business, then you've got to think like a business owner, like a CEO, like a founder, and get everything in place that you need to get in place to be able to go the long haul. So yeah, that's what I would say for that.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I think what would be really interesting now to do is sort of to shift it and to think about it from the perspective of, you know, service providers like me, or leaders like me. What is it that you provide in terms of value? And I think it'd be great to hear maybe, yeah, just a few stories of how you transform the lives of some of your clients.
Yeah. So, I mean, what I specialize in, like I said, I only work try to only work with coaches and clients. Eventually, those are the only people I want in my books, just coaches and consultants, especially leadership coaches like yourself. But I offer things like business support. So that's, you know, email management, calendar management, any sort of research-based, you know, activities that we might want to do for a project or this, you know, things like that, business support. Social media, I do that, anything to do with repurposing content and, you know, scheduling and scheduling and repurposing. And then I do offer bookkeeping services as well. Expense tracking. That's, I know you're laughing. Bookkeeping.
Sorry, you can't see it. I'm laughing because she's an accountant by training.
So bookkeeping, I try and keep it basic because I definitely don't want to find myself in that place again, but it is the skill that I have, you know? And so I use it, you know, I use it. I just now have more control over what I do for people as opposed to before. So yeah, I do, I call it financial fix, where I, you know, we'll look at your expenses, we'll create budgets for you and, you know, and really make sure that your business is going, it's going well and it's in for the long haul, basically. So yeah, those are the three. And then at the moment, I'm actually on a course for podcast management. What I find is a lot of coaches have podcasts. And so, and that's a field that I just never even thought of before. And now I'm like, actually, if I want to be valuable to my clients, then I'm going to have to bring the skill in. And so I'm learning that and eventually I want to launch it autumn of this year to be able to provide that as a service. So yeah, that's how I, that's what I do. So business support, social media, financial fix, and the podcast management. Those are the four services that we offer. And to be honest, I feel like you would be best, you'd be best placed to say what value I've brought to you because I feel like I'm like tooting my own horn here.
But you should toot your own horn. So before we actually started recording, I was just telling her a little bit about how, you know, even how hesitant I was, right? As someone who's actually, you know, I've built teams. You could technically say I've broken down teams as well. And I've done that for, you know, for businesses that were, you know, working primarily online or looking for clients online. But this is the first time where I've really have given key elements of my business to someone to support me with. I've never had anyone in my emails. I've never really had, you know, someone who had a really good understanding of how I want to show up online, what my voice is. So from my end, you know, working with Dorcas, yeah, it's been a really good learning opportunity for me. Because I think when you work with, or specifically how I've decided to work with a virtual assistant, it's a lot more intimate, I think, in some ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's been a really great learning experience. And I know that I have freed up not just my time, but also my energy. And I think that the greatest, I was going to use the word destroyer. That's the first word that came to mind, but that might be just a little too much. But, you know, in my business, because I decided that I wanted to leverage social media, right? So I always talk about this when I'm talking about leveraging social media as a thought leader, right? I'm someone who started a business and then was like, hey, I want to use social media. I want to leverage social media to build out and, you know, expand my business, which is very different from being like, I want to leverage social media. And then now I want to figure out how to monetize it, right? It's like, nope, I want a business and social media is maybe one of the components in which I leverage to get business. And it very much drained me to leverage social media. And I think having just your support with that bit, I mean, you do a lot more, but just that bit has made it so much easier for me to show up in other parts of my business. So that's the actual coaching. You know, I do, you know, thanks to your support there, I'm actually able to do workshops and, you know, secure workshops. Previously, I didn't have the capacity because I was so busy, you know, trying to figure out what to do on social media. And then beyond that, just in my life, right? I don't have as much anxiety around making sure that I'm showing up online because I have your support in that space. So that's, I mean, I think really quickly, I guess some of the value, and you've also very much shifted my perspective around where I need to show up. I think I'm a lot more, and the word isn't necessarily lax, but I'm just a lot more like, does that fit? And you're like, nope. And I'm like, well, we'll do it differently then. Right. And I feel like I'm harder on myself, which I think is quite interesting. I'm curious about your experience of working with me. I probably was a bit micromanaging when I first started, and I think I apologized a lot.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
No, but do you know what though? I think that's a like something to be expected for any virtual assistant who might be listening, is that this is somebody's livelihood that you're coming into. And so of course they're going to be a bit, you know, hesitant to give control over this. And because we come in and we have our own ideas, because we're like super excited and we're like, oh yeah, I'm going to be your right hand and I'm going to do this for you. And so, you know, I think it's good to manage expectations as a virtual assistant and know that, hey, you're working with, yes, you're working with a business, but you're also working with a human. And, you know, there's going to be things that it's going to take a while for you guys to get comfortable, because I don't think a virtual assistant and client relationship works if there's no trust, if there's no honesty, if there's no feedback, if there's no, and you guys have to be able to receive that on either end, right? You've got to be able to say, actually, I don't really like how you did that, how you went into my emails and found this, or how you, whatever, you know. And the other person, the virtual assistant, has to be able to say, actually, you know, I don't feel like I've got space to be creative, you know, and stuff like that. And you've got to be able to communicate that, but you can't do that if there's no understanding of each other or patience with each other. And so I think that, you know, yes, it was at first a lot of micromanaging, but I understood that.
You were so gracious.
I was like, it's just a matter of time. She'll get comfortable, you know, and then we'll keep going. And now I think we're at a place where it's better. Like, I feel like we're friends now, you know, and we can, you know, brainstorm. And this is what I love about what I do, is that it's not just a task-based like tick box activity that I do in my business. I try and have a holistic approach, in that, you know, yes, I'm there to do the things that have to get done on a day-to-day basis, but also I'm there to bounce ideas off, right? I'm there to be a second brain. My tagline is helping you bring your vision to fruition. And the reason I brought that, I put it that way, is because I'm thinking about the whole thing in general. You know, if there is, for example, the other day we were talking about an offer, you know, something that we could come up with that could, you know, that something that you could offer that we can leverage to get more income and, you know, more exposure and things like that. And I love those sessions. A lot of my clients, I sit down and will literally just be, can you just sit with me for an hour to flesh out this package I'm thinking about, or to flesh out this idea I'm thinking about? And I absolutely love that. And so I serve as the right hand of my clients. That's really what I do. Like, I'm there to fill the gaps that you can't, not because you're incapable, but because maybe you have no time to do that. And my whole thing is, I'm releasing you to walk into your purpose. Literally, whatever it is, as a leadership coach, as a business coach, as a marriage coach, as a empowerment coach, whatever it is, I'm there to make sure that the ground is covered so that you can go and excel and win in what it is that you've set out to do. And so it is an absolute honor to work with any of my clients, because I am so incredibly, like, just to get a first-hand seat, I guess, you know, or, you know, to be able to be there as they are launching and as they're going and they're running after what they, you know, I just really enjoy it. Some of my clients come to me and talk to me about the one-to-one sessions they just had with their clients. They're like, oh my gosh, this and that and this. And it's just incredible to hear, oh, I had space to do this because I didn't have to worry about this.
Yes.
I had space to show up as my best self here because I didn't have to worry about this. That is, it gives me so much joy. I can't, I feel like I'm saying the same thing over and over again.
No, I love it. No, that's authentic. It really is. Yeah, this is Dorcas. This is how she shows up for real.
I really love that. And I, you know, like, I'm here to serve as your right hand and your other brain, so to speak, so that, you know, you could, because we were saying this at the start as well, like, sometimes we think that as an entrepreneur, everything has to come from your head, right?
Yeah.
Everything has to be from my head. It's got to, but actually brainstorming is brilliant. like, it's so good to just have a different perspective, a different experience, a different, you know, idea. And you, two heads are better than one, always. You know, if you're, again, as a virtual assistant, if you're passionate about the services that you're offering and the people that you're working with, these things are going to come naturally because you're inspired by what your clients do. And so it's like, ah, oh, you can talk about things and really, like, you know, help them succeed. Because if they excel, you excel. If they succeed, you succeed. So no, I love it. I absolutely love what I do. And I love working with you, Aqua. It's great. It's
and
great.
I love having the opportunity to work with you as well. And I mean, I've mentioned this several times, not on this podcast, but outside of it, just how much having another set of eyes, right? Another person to look at the data, another person who sees the DMs, to just give a different perspective, I think has been incredibly valuable. And yeah, just so grateful that you sent me that email.
Oh, friend, I wish we could hug right now.
We could literally talk forever. I feel like anytime we get on a call, it's like, we could talk for years, but I do want to give you an opportunity though, to tell us a little bit about who you are outside of your work. Who is Dorcas outside of her work and what is she excited about next?
I sing. So I'm currently with an agency and we literally just meet up and, well, you get a text, as I mentioned before, you get a text and you just show up. You don't know who's going to be there. It might be a singer from London. So I'm based in Manchester. So it might be a singer from London, from Leeds, from Birmingham, wherever. And you go and do this gig and then you never see these people again. That's literally how it works. And at the moment, I am so excited because I'm part of what I'm doing, that the agency, but then I'm also part of this movement called Manchester Warehouse Worship, which is, yeah, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. We've just done the first event like a couple of weeks ago now. And it's literally just people coming together and worshiping. That's all it is. And we lead worship and there's incredible singers in there. And you get a set, like a 15-minute set, and you do that. And then another worshiper comes on, another singer comes on. So it's incredibly brilliant. I'm so, so honored to do that. Like, that is something that if I could make money out of that, that would be great. That would be great. Like, it's brilliant. I love it. And then I just got engaged. Got engaged in April. So I'm getting married in August this year. And I'm actually going to be moving to the States. Have I told you that? Yes, I have told
you
that.
Yes, very exciting. Yeah. So lots of exciting things. Yes.
A lot of exciting things. It's definitely a season of change for me, given that all I've ever known is Manchester, Manchester, UK. So it's definitely a huge change. Not only am I like going to be living with a man, but I'm also moving to the other side of the world. So it's definitely a big change. But I look at things like nothing happens without a purpose. Everything is for my good. That's how I look at things. Everything, every change that comes, whether I fail or succeed, everything is for my good. And so that's how I look at things. And, you know, this whole new change that's about to come, it's also for my good. And so, yes, it's scary. Yes, it's exciting, but also very scary. But I'm also looking at it as an opportunity for growth. I'm looking at it as a chance to see a different side of Dorcas that I hadn't met before. And so I'm just, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And yeah, I can't wait to see who's Dorcas as a wife, you know, like, what does that look like? What does that look like? So, and you know, now that my business is completely remote, it's easier for me to move, which is also another reason why I'm moving and he's not. I can work anywhere. You know, I mean, you're based in Ghana and I'm based in Manchester and we work. So yeah, I'm just looking forward to that. Definitely a new season for me, for sure. But yeah, I'm embracing it.
Amazing. Amazing. So this has been, this has just been so great. I think just to close, I want to make sure that people can find you. So where can people find out more about you online?
Sure. So the business is actually called The Virtual Action, which I don't think I've mentioned. So it's The Virtual Action. So it's The Virtual Action on Instagram and it's The Virtual Action on LinkedIn as well. And my website is also www.thevirtualaction.com. So any of those platforms, you can find me and drop me a DM, a message, whatever. And you can also email me at info@thevirtualaction.com.
Amazing. We will make sure all of those are in the show notes. But
thank you so much, Aqua.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining me today. This has absolutely been, it's just been so much fun. And I've learned so much about you as well.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to work with you, Aqua. A pleasure. So yeah, it's great. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode. If you enjoyed what you heard today, please share it with your friends. We can continue this conversation on social media. The links to my socials, so that is LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter, you can find them in the show notes. If you tag me in a story and include the hashtag AskAkua, I will share a special little gift with you. Thank you so much once again for your time, and I cannot wait to share my next episode with you. Stay safe and sane.